Welcome, O Fellowship of Fiends, to this special surprise episode of Fear is the Fire that Lights the Heart, a humble podcast where we delve into the darkness that dwells beyond the edges of genre. Today, we have a special podcast where we throw away our normal roundtable format and instead celebrate the book launch of a new horror collection. The Skinless Man Counts to Five and Other Tales of the Macabre. I'm your host, Paul Jessup, author of that fine collection of creepy, crawly words. Come, join me as we talk short stories, horror, and other wonderfully unnerving things. Published by Underland Press, a wonderful small press publishing house that is like the A24 of the book world. And remember, if you want to buy a copy of the book, check out skinlessman.pauljessup.com. If you buy a copy from the publisher directly, you get a free copy of the ebook when you buy the print version. And now, in order to celebrate this wonderful book launch, I'm going to read to you the introduction of the short story collection. And when you're ready, here we go. How the Heart Sings to Horror. It all started with my Aunt Dar, who was only 7 years older than me, which made her more like an older sister than the usual aunt. She opened the doorways to horror for me at a very young age. I remember sneaking downstairs while she babysat, hiding behind the banister as she watched Creepshow or Poltergeist or Let's Scare Jessica to Death. I was entranced, especially by Let's Scare Jessica to Death. I loved the mist, the atmosphere, the uncertainty, the ambiguity of the vampires. When she asked for a bedtime story, I would say, "Tell me a scary story," and then she would. Some of the scariest stories I'd ever heard. She would retell Poe or some Stephen King short stories by memory. Other times, she would just make up one's whole cloth just to see me scream and hide under the covers. Many a night, I would stay up until 4 a.m. convinced that there was an albino ape just outside my window and that fed on the bones of children, all thanks to her. I loved it. I remember, too, her reading a copy of Stephen King's It just fresh from the library while she babysat me. I was entranced by the cover, the lizard claw coming out of the sewers. I loved monsters, and I wanted to know more about what was that. I was hoping for something that was terrible and vile. And she said, "Oh, it looks nothing like that. It's a clown." I was very disappointed, to say the least. She assured me it was a very scary clown indeed, and then began to read the scene of poor Georgie's demise. I was exhilarated. Later on, for my birthday, her mom, my grandma, got me a book of classic horror stories. It was my most favorite thing in the world for the longest time. This was where I was first introduced to Poe, Mackin, M.R. James, Lovecraft, Charlotte Perkins Gilmore, and a litany of other writers. The stories that made the most impression on me were The Telltale Heart, A Whistle and I'll Come to You, My Lad, The Color Out of Space, The White People, and The Yellow Wallpaper. When I read The Telltale Heart, my parents were making room for my soon-to-be-born little sister. They were taking my room, putting up drywall, and splitting into two rooms. My mom realized one of the floorboards was loose, and I just about flipped out. Of course, it was a human heart. Of course, I screamed at her not to pry it open, that some things were better left undisturbed. It was an ancient box of condoms and some dirty old magazines. As funny as it was, it didn't lessen the fear of this moment in my mind. I knew then the power of a good horror story, and I was in love with them. In love with the way some people reserve for their favorite poems, songs, or movies. All-consuming, like a Lovecraftian hero obsessed with the unknown. I returned to these stories over and over again. I remember reading The White People out of my grandparents' house in the middle of nowhere in rural Ohio. Cornfields aplenty, with huge forests cropping up along their backyards for acres and acres. I'd spend the days wandering the woods and the nights reading until the crack of dawn, watching deer come out of the mist and run through the shadows. The White People opened up my brain and did something to it. The frame narrative bored me. I skipped that entirely. But there, in the little girl's diaries, I found a secret world. A world that would later gain the name Full Core. But at this time, it was just alluring and strange and beautiful. I wanted to visit the Troy towns, read from the Green Book, all of it. I even tried to imitate the style of writing, the creeping sense of dread. I didn't understand the ending. I thought she literally poisoned herself. Later on, I realized they're talking in a spiritual sense, in that cool-looking statue, and in my mind, it was twisted and horrific. It was really just the great god Pan. Still, the story stuck with me, and my love for short stories, specifically horror short stories, grew. Like all precious kids who loved reading, I wanted to do that kind of magic myself. I made my first books as a toddler, my mom writing the words while I dictated her the story and drew images. Not much later, I'd sell my first story, a saddle-stapled homespun tale about teddy bears, to my best friend, whose turn it was to do show and tell in kindergarten, and had nothing. So he bought the book for me for a whole dollar. As the years went on and my love for horror grew, as well as science fiction and fantasy, I started to imitate the short stories and books I loved so much. I returned to short stories the most, especially for horror. I just felt so natural and beautiful in the brief, poignant form. You could conjure an emotion almost effortlessly in the reader and hold on to it with just enough space to make them uncomfortable in their own skin. As a teenager, I started submitting short stories to magazines. Mostly rejections, but eventually a few small literary magazines started publishing me. I got poetry in my local newspaper. Years later, I went to university and won awards for my short story writing. It was such an exciting time, so thrilling. There were horror stories, but told with such a veneer of literary and experimental style, the professors didn't seem to mind at all. Perhaps it was because I was working in a more classic tradition of horror back then, a ghost story of sorts. I imitated Poe, M.R. James shamelessly, spinning my own weird imagination and letting it sing. After graduation, I spent a few years making video games and taking a break from writing. This was a fine time, don't get me wrong, but I felt like something was missing, like a phantom limb of stories. Eventually, after my daughter was born, I decided to jump right back into writing and publishing. I tried doing more respectable genres like science fiction or the classic literary realist story, but these did not feel quite as natural to me, and they piled up rejections upon rejections quicker than quick. But ha, the minute I returned to horror, things started to work for me again. Acceptances rolled in. It was a fun and exciting time. I still remember my first big pro-level sale to Postscripts magazine. I had tried my hand at a Mac and white people style story yet again. A little before this, my grandpa bought me a book on spirit photography for inspiration. It was very inspiring indeed. These days we would call it analog horror, but back then the images were just creepy. The photographs were ill-lit, torn, ripped apart. The book had seen better days. It was at least 40 years old at that point and not well taken care of. But oh, it was beautiful and haunting and gave me so many ideas. I read about a hollow earth commune in Florida. I read about Germans making weird ghost paintings in a trance. I saw depictions of ectoplasm all creepy looking and unreal. The quality of the photographs added to this a thousandfold. I put all of this into that short story and really wrote in a way that I hadn't in a long time. Poetic, in a trance, with the words tripping over each other as they rushed out of me. I almost put in a framed narrative like the white people had, but in the end, I tossed it out and focused on another little girl's diary. This time, she was in a horrible cult, one that speaks to the dead, who are coming in for her at any moment. I sold the Postscripts, and that same story is collected here, Ghost Technology from the Sun. I tried to expand my writing several times through the years, focusing for a bit on science fiction, on magical realism, on fantasy. I found that I had to make a conscious decision to force the story into a non-terrifying shape. This was no easy task, and after a while I just stopped fighting it and kept embracing horror once again. Don't get me wrong, I do love my funny, heartfelt, strange bits of fantasy and science fiction that are more sweet and less terrifying. They have an emotional qualia that I was able to bring back into my horror stories later. But I just felt like I was wearing the wrong shoes. I could walk in them, yes, but could I run? And horror, my friends, is all about running. So come, take my hand, and let's run and keep on running and never look back. Let's embrace horror full on and celebrate its icky joy that shivers our spines and brings our smile to our faces. After all, this is what we need, isn't it? A world that is rough, carved, and beautiful, terrifying as it is poetic. Turn the page with me and run, run, run. The scent of freedom will be exhilarating. And once again, you can get a copy of this book at skinlessman.pauljessup.com. But you can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the publisher's website, anywhere really you can get a book and get your own copy now. It's live. And this Thursday, if you're in the Erie, Pennsylvania area, you can stop by Warner Books at around 6 p.m. and hang out with me and celebrate the book being alive and real and in person. Get a signed copy. Hear me talk about it. All that fun stuff. Until then, pleasant dreams. And good night.